All right, well, you see the question there on the board, who am I? That isn't for you to tell me about myself, although sometimes I get confused. I just want you to think for a moment about how you describe yourself. What kind of words would you use to describe yourself, either to someone else or maybe just internally in your mind? You may want to write a word or two down just as a little test here. Maybe you would use your family role. You're a parent, a son, a daughter, or a grandparent. Maybe you would think about your vocation, what you do for a living, or the fact that you're a student, or that you are retired, and whatever you may be in your vocation. Maybe you think about your intelligence. Maybe this is more of an internal description. I'm just not very smart, or I'm smarter than anyone. If everybody just listened to me, they wouldn't, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe your abilities, maybe that's it. You know, what is it you use to describe yourself? Are they words that are more about what you do, or are they words that are more about who you are and who you're becoming? That's our topic for this morning. I want to look at one verse, just one verse. It's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm going to focus on this one passage of Scripture today and take it kind of line by line. Look how Paul the Apostle would describe himself. He said, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If this isn't a verse that you have locked away in your brain, it's one that you need. Because what I discover in this verse is our identity as followers of Jesus. Paul understood it. It wasn't about making a list of accomplishments or things that he did. It was about knowing who had accomplished everything for him and who was recreating him in the image of Jesus. How do you describe yourself? What is your identity? Is your identity lost in Jesus? That's the big thought for today. And with that in mind, let's just kind of get into this passage. And we're just going to take it, like I said, line by line. But before we do, we're going to kind of do this as a practicum, a little practice here, class. We're going to read this together. So y'all read this verse aloud with me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Of course, that's in Galatians 2:20, right? Well, let's just take it piece by piece. Here's the first phrase. I have been crucified with Christ. Now, what did Paul mean when he said that? Obviously, he didn't mean he was physically crucified. If he had, he would not have been alive to write the words, I've been crucified with Christ. But what did he mean? He was talking about his ability to identify with Jesus in such a way that he would say, just as Jesus was willing to lay down his life, I'm willing to give my all in that same way. I identify myself with Jesus in his death and burial and resurrection. Something about that changes me. Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, I love that. It's not really a translation. It's more of a paraphrase of Scripture, but I like to turn to it every now and then, especially on familiar passages like this that we get familiar with. Listen to just the first line of how Eugene Peterson says Galatians 2:20. He says, I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ, and my ego is no longer central. That's how Eugene Peterson would write it. Something has happened. I am crucified with Christ. Something transformational happens. And you and I need to grasp a hold of this. It needs to alter the way that we think. We are united with Christ in our life. Paul even refers to this in the book of Romans when he's talking about how baptism itself is a picture of us being buried with Christ in baptism. We're so united with him. Let me read what it says in verse 5 and 6 of Romans 6. If you have been united with him like this in his death, in other words, if you're buried with Christ in baptism, you will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. There is life to be lived. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin may be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. As a follower of Jesus, do you think about your life this way occasionally, as two parts of a whole? The old me and the new me. The old me that is dying and going away, and the new me that is being recreated in the image of Jesus. Do you think about that? When you think about who you are, do you think about this reality that you are crucified with Christ? Ephesians, Paul, I love this verse because you just start reading through the New Testament and this verse just comes up over and over again. Listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, that old part of you, to put off your old self, which is corrupted by deceitful desires. But be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on a new self created to be like God. That we are that identified with our Savior in true righteousness and holiness. We're so identified with God that what we desire in our life is to live right lives that are rightly related with one another and with God, doing the right thing, and lives that are holy, totally different, set apart to be like Christ was in this world. Someone who caught the attention of anyone who was paying attention to what God was doing. He was different, the way he spoke, the way he interacted. You and I are crucified with Christ. And when we talk about our life, there needs to be that sense, or maybe you've experienced this, where you say the phrase, I'm not who I used to be. I'm not the same person I was when I first met Jesus. God has moved me somewhere. And a lot of times the best way to notice that is when someone that we've known from our past comes back into our life and they go, something's different about you. Well, of course, I'm crucified with Christ. That something is changing in me. But how we do this, we find it as this passage unfolds. We change the way we think about what belongs to us, about our life. The next phrase, I'm crucified with Christ, and what? I no longer live. The whole way of thinking about mine and my life and my schedule and my house and my children and all those things start to become not that way. They're not just mine, are they? Because I no longer live. I can't own any possessions. A dead man doesn't own anything. He's gone. I no longer live. I have chosen to live my life crucified, identify with Christ in such a way that I no longer live. That my schedule is his schedule. That my home is his home. And how we do this? Well, Jesus talked about it. This passage of scripture in Luke chapter 9 changed my life when I was in college. Because all the way through my early Christian life, I thought, well, I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. And, you know, I just can go on about my life. Thankfully, I'll go to heaven when I die. And it hits me when I get to college and I begin to unpackage some of the truths of Scripture that God calls me to more than just an empty belief that God saved me. But he calls me to a deep relationship that transforms me into the image of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 9, 23 and 24, Jesus says this to his disciples and anyone else that was listening. And then he said to them all, not just a handful of them, if anyone, anybody who would choose to follow me, anybody in the world, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. If we're ever going to learn the secret of not living any longer in my and me and I, it happens when we daily choose to die to what we want. That I would choose to daily take up my cross. And that doesn't mean, you know, a lot of times we use that phrase, well, it's just my cross to bear. And what we mean by that is it's my struggle. It's the burden I have that I have to get through life. It's not what Jesus meant. Jesus meant, I want you to live your life like that person who understood that he was carrying an instrument of torture to his death. That every day you wake up recognizing it's not my life that I'm living. I'm identified with Christ. I no longer live. It's Christ that's living, right? But look a little more before we go to that next line. What is it we do to do this? How do we die daily? Well, the more I thought about it, there's something we got to let go of. And then there's something that we need to latch on to. And what do we need to let go of? Again, it's all through Scripture. We need to let go of our wants. What we want. What I want. How I want my life to lay out. How I want my schedule to be today. And when it gets derailed, how will I react? Will I be crucified with Christ in those moments, or will I just get angry? Listen to what it says in Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death... I no longer live. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, to that old you, to the old self that you're taken off and that is dead. Put to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, those desires that you would have to do whatever you wanted for yourself, evil desires and greed. We're not talking just about sexual issues. We're talking about a life that says, I want what I want the way I want it. And Paul says in this passage, all those things I described are idolatry. They're me worshiping my wants. And if I am ever to die to myself, every morning I have to remind myself, I no longer live, Lord. I want to walk in your truth. I want to be like you were, Jesus. And how was Jesus? One of my favorite passages of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2 was probably a hymn in the ancient church that tells us what Jesus was like and the kind of attitude that you and I need to have. It says this, starting in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, because we're crucified with him and we no longer live. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Although he possessed all that God was and had all the rights of the majesty and power and authority of God, he could have done whatever he wanted to save humanity. Verse 7 says, but he made himself nothing. He emptied himself, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You know, a lot of times when we think about trying to be like God, we can try to create God in our own image, a God that wants all the attention turned to himself and wants all the glory. Karl Barth, a famous theologian, said something that to me was pretty powerful. He said, the truth about God, that's altogether different than how we would want to describe him sometimes, is best seen in Jesus. And what did Jesus do? In this fact, that although he was free not only to be exalted, he is God, he deserved it, that is his right. But he also had the freedom to choose to be lowly, not only to be remote, but to be near. And the God that we serve, who saved us because we are crucified and we are identified with Jesus, was this kind of God who would empty himself and become and make himself available to us. Even Jesus would live his life for the will of God, not his own desires. And I would wish that you would take this cup from me, Lord, but not my will, but yours be done. That's what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. So I'm crucified with Christ. I'm identified with him. It's no longer about my life. I'm willing to let my wants go for the sake of his will. Why? Because my life is in Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This is our identity. We are forever connected to the holy God by Jesus' promise that when we believe in him and ask him to save us, he enters us in the form of his Holy Spirit, and he is there. Think about this. Wherever you go, Jesus goes too. If you're a parent, he's parenting with you too. If you're a teacher, he's teaching right alongside with you. You are crucified with Christ. Any goal, any desire you would have is there because he is there placing that in you. It's not about you anymore. It's all about what he wants. It's all a brand new way of thinking, really. It's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, that anyone who's in Christ, anyone, not just the select few that get it all right, but anyone who has chosen to follow Jesus is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Do you see your life in this way, that there's an old me, there's a new me, and I'm crucified with Christ? That part of me is gone. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What does that really mean? Christ in me, Christ in you. I found another passage in Colossians chapter 3, where the same theme runs through it. And at the end of it, it describes Jesus as our life. That he is, you've seen those t-shirts that say, like, baseball is my life, or shopping is my life, you know, whatever. You know, what is it that is, you would say, what is your identity? What is your life? Is Jesus your life? Listen to this passage. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. You've been crucified. You have been raised to a new life. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's in control of it all. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Verse 3 says this, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Do you see it that way? You're enveloped with the very person of Jesus in the form of his Spirit. He should cover every part of your life, wherever you go, whatever you do. And then this phrase in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life? Christ, who is your life? Not just your Savior, not just part of your life, not just someone you come to on the weekend to sing a few songs to, but he is your everything. When he appears, you will appear with him in glory. Christ is in us. Do you see your life that way? Your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, they are there in you because God has placed them there, not so much just for your own happiness and contentment, but because God will place you where he wants you for his glory, so that where you are, he is present for his kingdom's sake. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's not about me and what I've done, but Christ lives in me. And this is all played out in real time. It happens right here in this body, right? That's the next phrase. The life I live in the body. We don't want to run past this to the two great things that it says next. You and I still have a job to go to. We still have a family with all of its function and dysfunction, however that may work out for you. We all have the life that we have to live in this body. How do we live it? How do we move on in this life? Well, we remember that we are identified from this point forward in a relationship with Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. And every day when I wake up, I deny my wants for his will. I don't live, but Christ lives in me. And this should begin to change a little bit about our life. I think about this a lot, especially in recent days with people who are close to me passing away. And I think about it just every funeral I go to, really. That a lot of times we can get a lot more comfortable in this place. This can become home, not just this building, but this world we live in, our homes that we go to, the families that we have. That we can get more attached sometimes to the creature comforts that we have than to the God that we're following. Peter talks about this life in the body that we have to live, and he kind of sums up some of these things that are in this passage. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13, Peter said this, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled and set your hope fully on the grace of God given to you when Jesus is revealed. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance in the old you. But he has called you He's called you to something, to be holy in all that you do. Because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. He calls us to be different, to live our life in a way that people say, there's just, why does he approach life that way? Why is she that happy when everybody else seems to be so upset? Why are they so honest? Why did they give so much to me when I didn't deserve anything? Holy living. And then he says this in verse 17, as a picture of this life in this body. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, he's looking at what we do in this life. Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Strangers. Aliens is really the idea of the word there. Not aliens like little green Martians, but aliens as in a foreigner from another land. We need to think of ourselves, wherever we are, that we are crucified with Christ, that we no longer live, and Christ lives in us, and this is not our home. We are strangers. We are like exchange students, just trying to discover things and get to know things and exchange our culture, our mindset of following Christ with those who may not know it. We're like the person from the foreign embassy that goes to help bring peace with another nation. We're not home here. This is not our home. Our home is eternal. And that's what we live for. We live for a life that says, I know I'm in this body, but I'm living it recognizing that I'm that identified with Christ. And how do we live in this body? There's two things that this verse says at the end. I live, first of all, by faith in the Son of God. So let's look at the verse again. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I'm here and I've got things to do. I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by the reality and the truth of God's word. I believe it to be true. I don't believe that the voices that I sometimes will hear that will tell me I'm not smart enough. No, God uses the humble and the weak and the foolish to confound the wise. I don't think that I don't belong here, because wherever God has placed me is where I belong. It's where I'm supposed to be, to serve and do what he calls me to do. I'm not rejected. I've been accepted. I live by faith in the Son of God. I believe that there are things happening that I don't really see. And I trust it to be true. Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians. It's one of his prison epistles. He writes it from prison, and he's towards the end of his life, and he's struggling to figure out, well, if I stay in this body, then I'm absent from God, but if they take my life, well, then that's even better because I'm with Jesus. And then he says this all-important phrase that you and I need to latch on to. Verse 6 and 7 of chapter 5 says, therefore, we always are confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We're not quite with God, but we know God's with us because we're here in this body and it's just a struggle to figure it out. And what does he say in verse 7? We live by faith, not by sight. We live our life not so much focusing on what it appears to be happening around us, but what we believe God to be telling us that he's doing. And we make ourselves available to him. You know what Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is? That faith is being sure of what we hope for. That God is bringing salvation to those who will believe. And one day he's going to return. And he's going to take us home with him. And we have a calling in our life to live holy lives as a royal priesthood. To do all we can to connect others to that same loving God. Because Christ is our identity. And we would live our life trusting him, even when things don't make sense. And we'll live according to his promises. And we'll do what he says, even when other people say that's old-fashioned and that's not a way to do it. And, well, I believe God's word and I'm going to stick with it. I will walk by faith. I will believe in him. And then more than anything, I'm going to trust that he has saved me and that he will save you too if you'll just trust him. He's done all that needs to be done. But it's not just there. It doesn't just kind of get left in the idea of kind of a heartless belief, almost religious. Put the rest of the verse on the screen, and this is what we have. In this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's say that whole verse together again. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, when you start looking for passages of Scripture that define God's love and help us understand all that there is about God's love in Scripture, there's a lot of directions you can go with it. But there's no better picture than the cross of Christ. Let me just read a couple, just as a reminder of this love. 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, which is a great passage on love, that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. But 1 John 3:16 says this. This is how we know what love is, John writes. Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now, I'm living in this body and I recognize that I'm transformed by love and I'm going to live by love. I don't just walk by faith. I also live by love. Why? Because God loved me so much that even when I had my back to him or my fist in his face, he still was willing to do whatever it took to redeem me, to draw me into him. And he's done that for us. That's what Romans says, a beautiful picture of God's sacrificial and long arm reaching love. Verse 6 of Romans 5 says, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, not for the righteous, not for those that had it all right. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone may possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't that needs to alter us somehow, doesn't it? You think about Paul. Let's go back to just Paul, and this is his words that we haven't, well, they're inspired by God, but I think it's his testimony on top of inspired for us to hear for us. When did Paul meet Jesus? He was on the road to Damascus, still breathing threats. He was ready to kill anyone that stood in his way, that would mess with his religious idea of what God was, and he was trying to snuff out the church of Jesus. And Jesus just stops him in a blinding light. You know the story. Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this? And it blinds him, and he goes through the process of getting his eyesight back. And from that point forward, we see a different Paul. Instead of one who is angry and murderous and religiously calloused, we see a man who's soft-hearted, who weeps with some as he leaves them from one church to go to another. He talks over and over again about this love that transformed him. Does it transform us? Are our lives interrupted by the love of God? Do we think about our Savior enough? When I say, how would you describe yourself? First words pop in your mind, words that have to do with more about who you are and what you do and your life, or is the first things that pop in your mind, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm changed forever because of what Jesus has done to me. I'm so grateful that I don't have to do this alone. That's the big question, isn't it? That we're that change. It's something that we would never go back on, that we wouldn't go back into the old me and start trying to figure out, manipulate my life, get it all worked out. No, I will stay in the new me that dies to myself daily and lives fully in Christ, identified with him. Let's look at Eugene Peterson's version of this one more time before we close. Kai says it. I identify myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress God, because I know he loves me anyway, and he's going to take me where I am. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, But it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then he adds this little phrase, I'm not going back on that. This is my life. This is who I am, and it's how I live. So I ask again, how would you answer the question, who am I? If you were to ask yourself, what words would you use? I hope leaving this place today that you'll decide to say, I'm crucified with Christ. Here's what I do with passages of scripture like this. Maybe it'll be helpful to you, maybe it won't. This is how I memorize scripture, especially ones like this that can be difficult at times to process and make sense in a day-to-day living. The next moment I feel selfish. The next moment I'm a little angry or a little anxious. The next moment I get frustrated because someone has done something that has messed with my expectations of the good that I wanted in that day. I say, I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's Christ that lives in me. Lord, help me understand that. Help me make sense of that. And maybe that's what you and I need to do as we move out of this place today. Let's read the verse one more time. Read that together, and then we're going to close with a time of invitation. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the faith, a body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Maybe you're here today and you've never surrendered your heart to Christ, and today would be the day that you would say, I want to be so connected with Jesus. We offer that invitation to you to come and to follow Christ in salvation. We'd love to get you to talk with one of our commitment counselors. But for most of us, we may be here just recognizing we can go through a whole day and not even really remember who we are in Christ. And that needs to be your prayer. God, help me not to forget. Help me to remember that I'm crucified with you. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you now as we prepare to sing our song of invitation, and we just want you to have your way during this time. Whatever it is you want to do to call your people to holiness and to live for you. Lord, we do pray for all of us that we would remember that our life is forever changed, crucified with you. No longer our lives matter, but it's all about your glory and how you recreate us. And our life becomes your life, and that somehow becomes our life again.